cost of being a Christian. Last week, Brother Cotter talked about the joys of being a Christian. Well, I'm going to talk about counting the cost of being a Christian. But before we go into that, there are a few reading assignments I wish to give out. Brother Paul McReynolds, will you give me 1 Corinthians 6:19-20? Brother Paul Davis, will you give me 1 Corinthians 7:22-24? Brother William Burnside, will you give me Matthew 16:24-25? Brother Oscar Smith, will you give me Luke 14:26-27? Brother Herman Jackson, would you give me 2 Corinthians 5:17? Brother Michael Davis, would you give me James 4:4? Brother Bell, would you give me 1 John 2:15-17? Brother Miles, would you give me Ephesians 6:19-20? Ephesians 6:19-20. Oh. Raymond Miles. Which the old, the judge. Okay. Brother Isaiah Lee, would you get me James 5:20? Brother Cabot, since he just walked in, would you get me Romans 12:1-2? Brother Wayne Harris, would you get me Hebrews 13:15-16? The younger Miles, would you get me Luke 6:27-30? Brother James Carter, would you get me 2 Timothy 4:6-8? Brother Kevin Lee, would you give me Revelations 2:10? Brother Anthony Hill, 2 Timothy 4:10. Don't want to forget anybody here now. I haven't got it. Brother Derek Thompson, I knew there was somebody there. Would you get me Matthew 19:16-22? That's Matthew 19:16-22. And finally, Brother Jackson, would you also get me Mark 1:16-20? Now, we have given out our reading assignments. Let us go to God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for waking us up this morning when you did not have to. Thank you for the strength in our limbs and the clarity of our minds. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for allowing us to assemble here to learn more about your word. We want to thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you counted the cost of being a Christian? What does counting mean? Counting means to include in a reckoning. Take account of. You are going to be included in a reckoning. The cost is the amount that is paid or required in payment for a purchase. It is a price. So what is the price of being a Christian? These are the points I want you to consider, and then I will sit down. Brother Paul McReynolds, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what does it say? Therefore, you are bought with a what? What a price. So part of the price has already been paid for you. Part of the cost has already been counted. Now, church, who paid that price for you? I can't hear you. Christ Jesus has already paid part of the price, giving you a chance at eternal life. But you still have a little bit to pay yourself. Brother Davis, Paul Davis, 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 22 through 24, what does it say?
For he is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye servants of men.
You are the Lord's what? Freemen. You are a servant of Christ. So the first price that you must pay and take into account is that you no longer belong to yourself. You are now Christ's servant. You are a servant of the Lord. You don't serve man. You serve the Lord. Well, wait a minute now. You're saying here, what do you mean I have to serve the Lord? If you are going to be a Christian, you must serve the Lord. So there are certain things you must give up. Point number two. You must give up aspects of your old life. Brother, you must deny yourself. Deny myself? Yes, you must deny yourself. Matthew 16, 24 through 25, what does it say, Brother Burnside? It says right there, let him do what? Deny himself. What does that mean? You no longer belong to you. You are now a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to Christ. You do not belong to yourself. Your life is no longer yours. If you pick up that cross and you follow Christ, your life no longer belongs to you. It now belongs to the Lord. And he will direct and guide your path. But not only must you deny yourself, you may have to deny others. Brother Smith, Luke 14, 26 through 27, what does it say? You might have to deny your family. You might have to deny your mother and your father, your sister and your brother, to follow Christ. What do you mean by that? Well, let us take a look. Brother Jackson, read me Mark 1, 16 through 20. What does it say?
Mark 1:16-20.
Stop right there. They did what?
They left their nets and followed who?
Right. They followed that carpenter's boy. What did they do? There they were, tending their nets. They were what? Fishermen, right? And they said, put this aside. Why? Because they had been what? They've been called. Well, when you have come down here and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been called. And you will leave everything else behind. That means mama and daddy cannot get in your way. If your wife is against you, when it may have to leave that behind, your duty is to follow Christ. Continue, Brother Jackson. They left who? They left their daddy in the boat. To do what? To follow Christ. Now, I'm sure Father Zebedee was going, where do you think you're going? You're going to follow after this man and we still got fish here to pull up? You're supposed to be taking over the family business. And now you live it, you're running off with this man? Because he said, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. They left their father in the boat. Now, they left him with the hired servants, yes. But notice, the sons left the father to follow after Christ. That is what we have to do. Sometimes we're going to have to leave behind the aspects of our old life. We can't go back to being friends with people who are no longer the same as we are. We are a peculiar people. You cannot go back to the beck and elements of this world. So you may have to deny yourself, and you may have to deny others. What else do we have to do? You're going to have to deny the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, what does it say, Brother Jackson? If any man be in who? In Christ. What has happened? He's a new creature. The old is what? The old is dead. It's like a new year, people. The old one is gone. You can't get it back. Well, that's the same way when you become a creature in Christ. You do not go back to what you were. Because if you go back to what you were, you're no better than a dog that went back to its what? To his vomit. Once saved, always saved is a myth. Let's get that straight right now. That is a myth. You can lose your chance at eternal life by going back to the beck and elements of this world. Not only that, Michael Davis, James 4 and 4, what does it say? If you are a friend of the world, this is why you have to deny the world, people. Because if you're a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of God. We want to be a friend of God. Because who are we supposed to fear? Don't worry about those who can just kill your body. You worry about the one who can kill both body and soul. Why? Because one day you're going to have to stand before God and give account of what you've done in this life. Now, one or two things are going to happen. You're either going to get a key into that city, that mansion, that robe, and that crown, or you're going to be dealing with the devil and his angels. Now, you have to decide which one you want to do. But 1 John 2:15 through 17, what does it say, Brother Bell? What did it say? The world does what? Passes away. But those who do the will of the Father liveth forever. Now, you have a decision to make, even as a Christian, because we're going to come to a person who made this decision. You can decide to be in the world, of the world, with the world, or you can decide to be with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a decision you make even as a Christian. Why? Because the devil is a busy fellow. When you become a Christian, you paint a big bullseye or a kick me sign on you. Why? Because the devil says, well, one got away. Can't have that. Got to come up with a way to get them back. Let's see, what can I do? Well, maybe I can give whisper in his wife's ear. Stir up some trouble there. Or maybe, Brother Lee, there's somebody on your job that I can talk to and give Brother Lee a little trouble. He might fall that way, and then I got him again. You never know. The devil's a busy fellow. He's going to find some way, somehow, to try to get to you. Well, not only that, what else must I do? Well, you have to stand up for the truth. Being a Christian means you have to stand up for the truth. Ephesians 6:19 through 20, what does it say? Brother Miles. Yes. What did it say here? We ought to do what for the Lord? Speak what? Boldly. Right? As I ought to. Notice what it says. Boldly as you what? Ought to speak. Now that's not saying that we all speak boldly. Sometimes we get a little timid. A little meek. But Paul is saying here, we ought to speak boldly to make known what? The mystery of the gospel. How is anybody else going to know about the gospel unless you open up your mouth and you tell them? Your job is not just to save yourself, but to save, help save as many people around you. We ought to do what? They told them to go forth and do what? Preach the gospel. What does James 5:20 say, Brother Lee? What did it say? Whoever does what? Converteth the sinner from the errors of his ways, does what? Saves the soul from death. Now, what would you rather hear? Would you want to hear from your friend that you never told me about him? That's why I am now. If you had told me about Jesus, I might be in a better place. But you didn't open up your mouth to tell me about them. If I don't hear, that's one thing. But if you never say anything about them, how will I ever hear? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So if they don't hear it from you, you have failed in your duty of being a Christian. That's one of the costs that you have to count. You have to be willing to sacrifice. Romans 12:1-2, what does it say? It says here to present your body as a what? A living sacrifice. Which must be what? Holy and acceptable. Which is your what? Reasonable service. Notice that you have to serve the Lord. And you have to present your body as a what? Living sacrifice. Not only that, be not conformed to this world. You are not to be a part of this world. God sets aside a peculiar people for himself. You therefore are in the service of the Lord. You are not of this world. You have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you sat there and confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and were baptized, you changed your position. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, what does it say? God is well pleased. We have to do what? Pray unceasingly. We ought to give praise to the Lord. That is one of the sacrifices that we can give to God, is that we pray to Him. How do you plan on communicating with the Lord if you don't pray to Him? The only way that we have to communicate with God is through prayer. There's nobody here getting a revelation from God and speaking directly to God. I'm sorry. No matter what those prophets and prophetesses out there say, God isn't sitting somewhere in the corner going, gotta talk to you. He's talking to you through His Word. You talk to God through your prayers. There's no magical revelation anymore. God has put everything in His Word. You have to love your enemies. Now, that's a radical suggestion even today. How many of you want to love your enemies? Most of us want to shoot our enemies, not love them. Luke 6, 27 through 30, what does it say? Now, this is a radical idea. Christ is saying here, I'm supposed to love my enemies. Think about that for a moment. Christ is asking you to love the people who would despisefully use you, who would abuse you, who would take advantage of you. That's kind of radical. A lot of people would probably be saying, what was Jesus smoking? But He did by example. Exactly what He said. What did He do? He was led to the slaughter as a what? A lamb. Did not open His mouth. He accepted what was going to happen to Him. So we have to love our enemies even if we don't want to. It is commanded that we love our enemies. We are to be faithful to the end. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, what does it say, Brother Carter? What did Paul say? He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is what? At hand. But he said, I have done what? Fought the good fight. He said, I have finished my course. He got to the end of the race. And he had did what? Kept the faith. This is what you must do. You have to fight the good fight. You have to run the race. And yes, you do have to be on the race course. Those who are running on the inside of the track are not on the track. You have to be on the track to get the prize. You have to keep what? The faith. And what will you get? There will be laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and you will be judged in the last day. And on that day, you will get that crown if you had been what? Faithful to the end. But notice Paul said, not only will I get the crown, but anyone who loved his what? Appearing. What does Revelation 2 and 10 say, Brother Lee? And there it is. Be thou faithful unto what? Death. And I will give you a crown of life. That's what we're all looking for, right? That crown. We are looking for that, right? I don't know. It's kind of quiet out there. I think some of y'all might be looking for something else. Oh, might be the beckoning elements of this world. I hope not. But give you a crown of life. But the biggest question, and then I will close. Are you willing to pay? Are you willing to pay? Brother Isaiah Lee, Matthew 19, 16 through 22, we're going to see someone who was not willing to pay. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Here was a man, he said, I've done all these things, Lord. I've honored, I have not murdered. I have not committed adultery. I haven't stole. I haven't borne false witness. I honor my father and my mother. And I love my neighbor as myself. What do I lack? Well, Christ hit him in his home. He said, do what? Sell all that you have. Sell all that you have and do what? Give it to the poor. And do what? Follow me. And what did this young master say? You got to be joking. I'm supposed to give up my good life. I'm supposed to give my possessions to the poor. And follow you, a poor carpenter's boy from Nazareth. I don't think so. He was not willing to pay the cost of being a Christian. Because Christ told him the key, you will have what? Treasure in heaven. Now the question you have to ask yourself is, where do you want your treasure? You can either have your treasure in heaven or you can have your treasure here on earth. Just remember one thing, that the treasure here on earth fadeth away. When you die, your treasure is gone. You won't be able to use it. The people who you leave it to may be able to use it, but it won't be you. What did God tell that fool who said he was going to raise barns and put all his fruits and vegetables and everything in it? He said, you fool, your soul is required of you this night. So what are you going to do with all that earthly wealth? It's good while you're here, but eventually you got to go meet your maker. And what are you going to tell him? I didn't feed the poor, Lord. I didn't give to the church like I should. I didn't take care of my fellow man. I didn't spread the gospel like I should. I could have used my wealth in a better way, but I didn't. Well, what is God going to tell you? I know you not. Get thee hence, you worker of iniquity. Well, he's not the only one. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Brother Hill. For Demas hath what? Forsaken me. Having loved what? This present world. Here was a man who was a Christian, a follower. He was with Paul, but Paul told him, he's left me. Why? Because he counted the cost again and he found out that the present world was more appealing to him. You're going to have to count the cost yourself also. Which one's more appealing to you? Is the present world more appealing to you? Or is eternal life in heaven more appealing to you? That's the decision you have to make as a Christian. You have to decide by counting the cost. Are you just like you don't build a tower without counting the cost to know if you're going to finish it? Don't become a Christian if you don't think you can get to the finish line. For it's far better that you've never been a Christian than to become one and turn your back on the Lord. What did it say? Peter told you it'd be worse for you. He said it's better that you've never known the Lord than to turn your back on him. Brother Burnside, what's the penalty for high treason? Death, isn't it? Well, guess what? Turning your back on the Lord after you become a Christian is high treason. And the punishment will be death. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. But you have to make that decision yourself. If you wish to become a child of God, the first thing you got to do is hear. Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you got to do some believing. Acts 16, 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So you got to believe. First you got to hear. Then you got to believe. Next you got to do a 180 degree turn in your life. You got to repent. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to do that 180. Notice I did not say 360. 360 just puts you right back where you were. You have to do a 180. You got to go in a direction away from what you were doing. Which means you're going to have to deny yourself, and you're going to have to deny others and deny this world. Finally, you're going to have to confess. What am I supposed to confess? Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what are you going to confess? You're going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is what you believe. Finally, you're going to have to be baptized. What do you mean, be baptized? You're going to have to go down to the water of baptism. If you do not go down into the water of baptism, then those first steps that you just took don't mean anything. You have not completed what you're supposed to. Mark 16 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you do have to continuing in the faith after you are baptized. But you have to be baptized first. Don't go around thinking you do not have to be baptized. Yet you can just call on the Lord and you will be saved. The plan of salvation is clear. You must be baptized. Finally, you're going to have to continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue down the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom from where thou hast learned them. You have to continue in the faith. You have to fight the good fight. You have to finish the course. And then you have your eternal life. But it does require that you finish what you've started. You're going to have to count the cost of being a Christian. Now is the time. Now is the hour. If you feel that you have strayed away from what thus saith the Lord, now is the time to make it right. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, now is the time to become one. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. As we get together, stand and sing the song of invitation.